A bit blinded, but good evening, everyone. I can't quite make out everybody's faces, but I can make out little shadows, so I'll go for it. So tonight, as you've heard, I'm talking about worship. Now, just to put things into perspective, I'm not going to go deep into how we do worship at church, whether we should do Hillsong or Townend, whether we should do hymns or hour-long praise sessions. I'm not going to go into that. I want you to think of worship as part of your life and something that occurs day in, day out, and should be going on all the time. Worship isn't just for a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. So just to start us off, there's a little story that some of you may have heard. That famous Matt Redman song, The Heart of Worship, and where that sort of origin is from. So Matt Redman is a worship leader was down in Salt of Iver at Watford. And at one stage, everything had gone a little bit wrong in the worship team. Things didn't really click. Things weren't going as they should have done, maybe. So they came up with this great idea. Take everything away, bar the voices. Get right back to what worship is about. What the real heart of it is. And hence, why Matt Redman's song came about. Well, tonight, thinking about that, I'm going to try and talk to us a little bit about the heart of what worship should be and how we maybe need to sort of strip back that when we're talking about it in our lives. So, technology. Yeah. Spacebar. And I like Max, and it's going wrong. Okay, I'm going to go and keep going whilst the guys at the back try and just figure it out. If you move the mouse to the bottom, there should be some little arrows that will come up. So my first topic, which I can just about see, I don't know whether you guys can, is surrender. So true worship of God is about surrender. So we've sort of been in brief basing our things on the purpose-driven life. And this little bit and point is from one of the chapters I was reading in that. So in Romans 6:13, Paul writes, give yourselves to God, surrender your whole being to him to be used for righteous purposes. So Paul isn't saying surrender to God because he's a conquering army or an opposing force. Just like we've actually prayed for Ukraine, it's not like Russia sweeping in and taking everything. This is not, in our competitive world, an easy thing to look at, as surrender is normally seen as failure. Well, God says scrap that notion. God is asking us to truly surrender to him so we can fully understand him. So we can have godly success in him. Not success in what we put faith in the world, but in the heavenly gains in our relationship with him. When we surrender to God, we give everything we are and that we can do to him. We don't pick and choose the little bits. If we're going to truly surrender to God, everything goes. You let him have control of everything. Our whole lives become about serving and being engrossed in him. Just as Jesus surrendered to sin for us and bought new life for us, we too need to surrender to God in order that we can truly know him as our brother, our friend, and our father. By surrendering to God, we actually enable him to use us for his purposes. In John 15, 1-7, the famous story about the branches and the vines. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in branches, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For abiding in or surrendering, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So this little passage so clearly illustrates that without us actually abiding and surrendering to God's will, we cannot bear his fruit. The apple will just drop off mid-cycle. We've just moved into a new house and I'm seeing lots of apples and they've sort of gone a little rotten all in the bottom. But I'm quite excited to see the new fruit that's going to come. But just like that tree, if we truly give in to God and actually get the real nutrients that we need, we will bear much fruit. We will realize the fullness of what God can do in our lives. And then in Job 11:13-15, we are told to surrender our hearts to God and turn to him in prayer. This is the notion that we must take in our daily lives. Not that we must continue to maintain our pride, our strength as the world sees it, but as God sees true strength. With a relationship in him, with surrender. Surrender is not seen as weakness by God. As I've said earlier, it is seen as success. However, when we talk about surrender, we cannot hope for it to be in just one small part of our lives. As I mentioned earlier, when a country surrenders, it just doesn't give up a little bit that it chooses to give up. It tends to give itself all up if you've got a really strong army. And God actually is pretty strong. So if we are to truly surrender to God fully, then we've got to be prepared to give him everything. Every nook, every cranny of our hearts, every dark place that we've kept hidden. There's not a choice of what we should give to God. We need to totally surrender to him. We need to give it all. Our lives, material or thoughts, must be given to God. If we give our lives in full surrender, we end up being fully reborn in him. We gain that full and new life, which is the most precious gift of all. So my talk is going to be short and sweet tonight. So I've just sort of given you a little bit about surrender. Well, some of you may come back to me and go, well, I think I have surrendered. So there, in a minute I'm going to talk about two different types of worship and which one do you think you might fall into at times. I know where I fall into occasionally. But before I go on, so there's a little video that should, I hopefully, work, called God-O-Matic, which will link nicely, so it should play. Brill, as you've seen in that video, can we go to the next slide, guys? Should take you back. Thank you. As you saw in that video, this guy, and I think I might be the same at times, trying to hold on to that desperate can that he just can't let go. I think I felt a bit like that when my change kept popping out of the machine at the train station when I went to London last week. Just coming straight back out at me. There's the train coming 30 seconds, panicking that I'm not going to get it, holding on, and eventually I just gave up. But, and I surrendered actually to the machine. So that won. But like I've talked about, surrender is full and absolute. You don't get to hang on to a little bit of it, the Coke can that you want. God already actually knows every little bit about us. He's already seen every nook and cranny. So when we hold on to those little bits, actually, there's not really much logic in that. He already knows that bit. It's easier just to let it go. Let God know you inside out because you want him to. He already knows it. And just our sort of world, and this is nicked a little bit from a guy called Louis Giglio, but I've tried to expand it a little bit. Is our worship, or is your worship, my worship, consumer worship or consumee worship? So just like the guy with the vending machine, a bit of a consumer. These two ways that we could talk about it, they will relate to Sunday evening, Sunday morning services, worship like that. But I also want you to think of them in the context of your full lives. So you will say, yes, you're a consumer in the sense of the word when you go to a supermarket, you buy your groceries, then, yeah, that's being a consumer. But have you and have I allowed the world to dictate how we see our worship of God? Do we think on a Sunday morning, or as we worship God in our lives, think, what's in it for me? What am I going to get from this? As I've been talking already so far, what's the point in surrendering to God? What's in it for me? Well, we're on one of the steps to a consumer relationship with God when we focus on the return that we're going to get from our investment, not God's gain. We work on the old reward system, just as some of us did, and I remember this well in my childhood, of a star chart. Are we waiting for God to give us that golden star which gets us the chocolate bar at the end of the week? Some of you will know as well that I've recently changed jobs, going from a children's social worker to, while staying sort of in care, I've become wholly focused on the business side of things. So this question of what's my return comes up a lot. We have a model at work that works this out. We put all these fantastical numbers in. I'm not an accountant, so I let everyone else do that for me. When we look to open up sort of this new business, this new service in an area, and we work out this fancy word called EBITDA, which I've been trying to learn what it means, still not quite sunk in yet. But, like many of us, have I been guilty, and I think I have, of using this model in my daily lives? Have I been waiting to see what percentage am I going to get back on my investment that I've put in with God? What are you going to give me back, God? Well, we actually truly need God. We need to not be the consumer and to be a consumee. Consumer worship is easy and enjoyable. Consumee worship is painful and difficult because it takes over us. You're consumed by it. There's a little video that's going to come on again, which is about 30 seconds long, of Black Friday in America. Some of you might know what that is. This outrageous shopping day where people get trampled underfoot for half-price TVs and things such as that. And in my case, it would probably be a half-price Apple Mac. But there is... It's just incredible watching the reaction of people. The question I put to you with this video is, actually, do you want our church to be like that? Do you want to see Christians like that? Because they are consumed by God and have surrendered so much to him, do you want to be like that? Do you want to be racing towards him because you just cannot help but be consumed by him? Can you flick? Is that good work? So, obviously just waiting a little bit. Here you go. So you can see from the video, this is probably quite a timid version of it because I've seen YouTube clips of zombie apocalypse hits New York kind of thing, Black Friday, the example, where there's just people, there's nothing on the shelves, there's people lying on the floor because they've just given up and they've surrendered to their consumerism. Well, have you done that with God? Have you surrendered asking him what he's going to do for you? Actually, with worship, it's not about that. We worship, we live to worship God. Our whole lives should be about that. And we should be so consumed by that idea and that purpose that that's what we're going to do. That we rush in on a Sunday morning because it's exciting. That we rush to go and see people, to talk to God, talk to them about God, because we're so consumed by it, by the excitement that God is. So, to do that, we've got to surrender fully. And actually, if this is what you want, all you've got to do is pray to God, saying, I totally surrender to you. I hold nothing back. Everything I have is yours. Everything I can do is for you, and I want you to take it all. I don't hold anything back anymore. You don't put up the blockades on the parts of our lives, because actually, if God wanted to, he'd come down and tear them down anyway. All you need to say is, I surrender. But if, as I said, some of you may come back to me and say, well, actually, I've done that already. God, I've surrendered to you. I want you to think about whether your lives, whether your worship of God and your relationship with him is all about what you're going to get back from him, not what he's getting, what the glory is for him. Is it about what glory you're going to get, what investment you're going to get, what return when you get to those gates in heaven, what he's going to say to you? So just to have a bit of a reflection on that, there's a video on Andy's laptop, which is a Hillsong video called I Surrender. So I just want you to have a listen to it. You can disappear halfway through, but it'd be cool if you could just spend some time with God, actually acknowledging whether you really want to surrender to him. I'll be around. There's a couple of the other guys from the Breathe leadership team who will be here and able to pray for you if that's what you want. Come and see us. Or if you just want to talk about it more, come and chat to us. We'd love to talk to you. Thank you.
God, we look to you tonight. Above the singing, God, above the music, above the songs.